Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Chelsea Bond with the Let's Talk. Always was, always will be. Aboriginal land.
Oh, come on, you Ma. Bloody hell.
Oh, okay. You're in for a bit of entertainment. We have Kevin Yao Yi, Waka Waka and Salsi Man, and Chelsea Watigo, Mananjali Salsi Woman, who has recently just launched her book, Another Day in the Colony. Chelsea's book will be for sale over there, and she'll be signing autographs afterwards. I don't know what else to say, because this mob are going to take over. So today's session is celebrating sovereignty. What does that mean? Well, you're about to be schooled. Okay.
Woo! Thank you, Flash Black. Yes, I'm a little radical, but you just get what you get. Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Who we be? Running with the 22 clan. Where we be? B&E down to SYD. Steady repping for our original peace. Hello, you mob. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Thank you for Meanjin Markets and Flash Black, Kerry, Klim for having us. My name's Kevin Yao Yi. I'm a proud Waka Waka and South Sea Islander man. I grew up on Batchelor Country, otherwise known as Harvey Bay, and I've been fortunate enough to live down here in Meanjin for the last 17 years. I got my man here in the audience, Bob Smith. Hey, give him a shout out. Hey, give him a shout out so I'm in the good books later. Nah. He's a Kamilaroi man, and look, I'm just so happy to be here this afternoon with my sis Chelsea and to celebrate sovereignty and have a yarn. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, Kevin Yao Yi.
Coming live.
My name is Chelsea Watigo. I'm Mananjali South Sea Islander woman, born and raised on Yuggera country, and home for me and my mob is in Inala. There's Inala people here, I'm sure. Where are they? Come on, Sissy Tyson's on Yaggert, make out.
Yeah, there we go. There's
4077 represent. And yeah, I got no man, so no shout out to him either.
So, but if you're in the audience, today could be your big day, Charles.
Yeah, I just forgot this is actually getting broadcast on 98.9 FM later.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We are going live.
Let's... Whoops. Okay, but today what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of fun celebrating black power, black beauty, all the things that are deadly about us. And so we've just made up some awards that celebrate sovereignty. It's kind of like the NAIDOC we never had. And it's a little bit blacker, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, look, there'll be no reconciliation action plans here.
No raps.
There's no closing the gap targets.
Nope.
Okay, it's staunch, sovereign, stubborn blackfellas coming to you live from Meanjin Market. So buckle up, let's have fun, let's see where we go.
Okay, so I'm just going to be an academic for a second. We've got to get some conceptual clarity. When we're celebrating sovereignty, what does sovereignty mean to you, Kevin?
Look, for myself, as a Waka Waka and South Sea Islander man, what it means to embody sovereignty, what it means to exercise this on a daily place that refuses to see my humanity, is it means being unapologetic in my blackness. It means showing up every day in a place that doesn't like me. And it's a reminder to myself every day that we own this land and this is our land. Mm-hmm. And people need to not only pay the rent, but pay some respect too.
Hey.
That's what sovereignty means to me.
I'll wait there.
Yeah.
Here. We'll just touch buttons and we'll see where we...
I'm pressing the buttons, Kevin.
Keep
your hands off.
Hey. Look, Chelsea, you have no problem with me touching your buttons. Good ways.
Okay, you need to stop. This is on a 9 a.m. slot on 9 FM.
9 a.m.
And I'm going to get a call and I'm going to get in trouble. So,
Charles, as a Mananjali South Sea Islander woman, what does being sovereign mean to you? What is sovereignty?
Well, everything you said, Kevin. It is recognizing and remembering our power, and a power that comes from remembering who we are and where we come from. Being sovereign means to be staunch, because this place is based on our erasure. So to exercise our sovereignty, knowing it's unceded, but always contested, always discounted. And so we want to celebrate sovereignty, because when mob exercise it every day, everywhere, we're the ones that are demonised, pathologised, problematised as just being angry black fellas. And it's no way exercising our cultural responsibilities as black fellas, protecting our kids, protecting our land, protecting our culture. And the fact that in a settler colonial state, this is what we're forced to do all the time.
And, you know, what this afternoon's about is to celebrate sovereignty, but to celebrate the people that embody it every day in the colony. Look, we're going north to the Torres Strait. We'll go south to Nam and all across the place, to highlight and to celebrate, you know, black fellas who are turning up every day in this place. And, look, we'll have a laugh along the way, because there's been some time when in staunching and, our sovereignty, it can be fun. But it's also about, you know, having those serious conversations. So, yeah.
Yeah. And don't rouse us if we forgot you, because we kind of just made this up yesterday. Yeah. So yeah. This is not an exhaustive list. We kind of tried to look at the year that was. And it's been a year.
It's been an absolute year. Like, I mean, obviously, we've all been impacted by COVID and restrictions. So, look, we've got a list for you. And if you're on your phones, absolutely tag the people that we mentioned, because they're definitely on social media. And in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to get one of our sisters up as well to do some interpretive dance. Casey, interpretive dance? No?
She said yes. Yeah. She's nodding. Yeah. Okay, so we got some awards, and we're going to kick off now with some awards. Longest.
And we're likely to get noise complaint from that flash black, sorry. We didn't realise that bass was there, but of course it would be, right? Of course it.
Okay, so apparently the NAIDOC theme this year was Heal Country, which it kind of needed given Rio Tinto's blowing up sacred sites willingly and knowingly, and the fact that we still don't have our sacred sites protected in this place. But on a positive note, the first award under the category of Heal Country is... And look, you know I'm not a fan of the whole first of their tribe types, but this is a first of their tribe award we want to give to...
Can we have a drum roll?
Okay, I've got a drum roll.
We've got a drum roll here somewhere. Can you be a part of it?
Very professional.
Okay, so the first sovereign awards of the Meanjin markets in 2021...
goes to Uncle Adrian McAvoy in the W&J mob. What they did in terms of
let's do an applause. Yes, absolutely.
There was an applause. Do you want to talk about what he did?
Yeah, absolutely. So
you know about this legislation, Kevin?
Look, I can't spell legislation, but I'll talk to it. The silent L now. Look, sovereignty, you know, in every sense of the word, is about this land, and is about reminding white people that it's ours. And what Uncle Adrian and the WNG mob up northwest, Jungaloo, Wangan people have been doing is they're the first people to test out Queensland's Human Rights Act, right? And that doesn't seem like, it may not seem like a lot, but only as a... Only from last year, Queensland now has a Human Rights Act that protects our cultural rights. And what Uncle Adrian and the mob have been doing and what they have done is use that piece of legislation to protect their country. And if you don't know who we're talking about when we say Uncle Adrian, you might know him as Uncle Adrian Biagubba, who's taking on the Adani mining company.
And so what you may have seen it on social media, like last month, where the Queensland Police Service were directed by Adani to remove them off their country, and they took the Queensland Police Service on the Human Rights Act because they were in breach. They were breaching their right to exercise their culture, and so the police actually came to them and said, "We're not going to move you off your country because we have to honour your human rights to practice your culture on your country."
Like, yeah, absolutely.
So we're gonna just throw to Uncle now, who spoke about that.
We are the First Nations people from there. We're the Indigenous people, and we're connected to the land, and we have responsibility to the land and to the waters and to maintain our spiritual and cultural identity, our livelihood, and the use of those resources and water are a part of our cultural activity. So we are manifesting our culture, and this is something that we are, as the traditional owners, are allowed to do.
Hey. Absolutely. And here, you mob, you can find that interview online, and I really encourage you, because Uncle talks about it later in the interview, and it only goes for about 10 minutes, but he says, you know, we're not protesting, we're being. Mm. We're not protesting, we're practicing our cultural sovereign rights as First Nations people of these unceded lands. It's a really big case that's going on. I mean, everyone knows about the Adani stuff. They've changed their name, but they're still dumb dogs. And
hey.
You know, this is the stuff that we're having to come against, you know, every day in the colony. So, yeah, big shout out to the mob up north. This is what happens when Aboriginals
start coming together. Hey, now we on if we can stay in that category of first of their tribe types, we want to go up to Torres Strait.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to, up in the Torres Strait, there are two Torres Strait Island community leaders, Wathawam Paul Kaibai and Wathawam Pabai Pabai, who are, it's the first Australian climate class action being brought on behalf of First Nations people. The Gutamalugal traditional owners from the remote low-lying islands of Boigu and Saibai.
We're
going to court.
Yeah,
we're going to court.
We're going to court in a really big way. You know, as we know, the Torres Strait Islander mob up north, their homes, their connection to land and country and spirituality and being is absolutely at the whim of climate change. So the fact that there's mob up north, and they're not the only mob in the Torres Strait. We've also, you know, we know about the Torres Strait 8 that are going to the United Nations to fight this stuff. So they absolutely deserve a mention here this afternoon in exercising their sovereignty and reminding white fellas of where they come from.
And if I can quote Mr. Kaibai, who said, becoming climate refugees means losing everything, our homes, our culture, our stories and our identity. If you take away our homelands, we don't know who we are. We have a cultural responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen and to protect country and our communities, culture and spirituality from climate change.
Let's big hear it for the Torres Strait Islander mob, you mob.
Here, here.
Now,
I've never had a voice that deep.
Here, here.
I'm not even going there. The next category, Kevin, actually is for parliamentary service in sticking it to the patriarchy.
We're, of course, talking about our good sis.
Hang on right there.
Lydia Thorpe from Nam in Melbourne. Can we give it up for Lydia? Hey. She's here this afternoon. Nah. We'll just pass it on to Lydia.
People will look and see. Yeah. Look, she could have got it for any number of clips from the floors of Parliament and for the outfits. All kinds of reasons, she could have got a shout out.
The earrings. I know she rocks CJ Vines earrings in the Senate floor.
She got her shout out.
Yeah. And, you know, look, unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know that, you know, Lydia Thorpe turns out every day, but she particularly knows when to show up for mob on the Senate floor because, you know, these very white systems are nothing but oppressive to First Nations sovereign people. But, you know, sis takes it in a stride, eh, and she shows up and, yeah, have a listen.
I think when she first came into Parliament, she did the Black Power salute as she walked in, which was very special. But this clip we're going to play you is when she was fighting legislation around radioactive waste being dumped on our country. And in the middle of it, there's these two old fellas sitting up there like, you know, they're Muppets kind of heckling her as she's doing this really important speech. So as every sovereign black woman does, she let them have it.
Destroy sacred women's sites. Sacred women's sites. You can laugh up there. You know, that's what I expect from the patriarchy, right?
Hey.
Colonisation of this country brought the patriarchy. The old white fellas that are laughing and heckling me in the background, they're the problem with this country.
Sure.
Patriarchy is violence and colonialism is violence, and that is what we're dealing with in this bill. And Labor, if you want to be friends with us, then you should stand up and vote against this bill as well. Because the traditional owners collectively have said no.
Folks, put your hands together for Lydia Thorpe.
Too solid. Our final category, final award in the category of Hill Country. It's a special one. Do you want to tell the story of this one?
It's combined. It's a combined.
Okay, wait there. That was the setting up for the hotkey. Are you ready?
Yeah, go on there.
Go ahead, yeah, so I'm going to break it down real low, but even lower in the AMs if
Watch
you're still around
him.
Back in the casino now. Nah. Look, last year you'll know that there was a mining company in Western Australia that blew up in their mining blew up caves that were tens of thousands of years old, places that are of exceptional significance to the traditional owners and custodians of that country. There were stories connecting them to that place, and like it was washing dirt off, you know, a back of your car, this mining company just blew it up, and there was very, very little that they actually had to pay in terms of consequences and repercussions.
Look, apparently they lost their rap. what a consequence. But in the year of Hill Country, another mining company, Santos?
One of
Les,
them.
Decided someone in their PR department thought it'd be a good idea to make a Hill Country post on Twitter. So this award for Hill Country goes for the best clapbacks from Blackfella Twitter to Santos when they tried to preach to us about healing country. We've got a few of our favourites.
Like, I mean, the cheek of it, right? To
no
blow
shame,
up these
no
caves,
shame.
Right? No shame
Where's
at
the
all.
No shame hotkey.
We need a. That's a definite one we need.
We'll give some of the.
Yeah, absolutely. So, according to Blackfella Twitter, when Santos decides to celebrate Hill Country, according to Anton, he says, and shout out to Anton because he's big Binangbi listening, all the way from WA. Anton says, at this point, you're clearly just antagonising Blackfellas. Keep hashtag NAIDOC Week out of your mouth.
I've got to give a shout out to Tarnine down in Nam. Tarnine's response was, you want to heal yourself.
Absolutely. They need an exorcism of all sorts. Melinda. And Melinda's
Dr. Man
always shows up on Blackfella Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. Dr. Man reckons this is akin to a serial killer posting their own wanted poster.
Bless.
Yeah, I'm here for that. I think Dr. Man was on the money.
And my final one, got to give a shout out to Strati Mob, Pakiri Ruska. Just captured it for all of us. She reckoned sometimes healing starts with leaving.
So, you know...
Them strategy mob, how'd they go?
Yeah, there might be some strategies for mob.
Okay, what's your time, Kevin? We've got to go to next segment.
Next segment is called Kiss My Black Arts, and I'd like to give a big shout-out and ask our sis, Casey Coolwell, to join us on stage. Put your hands together, folks.
Also, we need another chair and mic. We forgot about that part. In the meantime...
Hey, keep those applause going. So, you mob, I don't know if you've been down to Shabu, which is Casey's tent here, but you need to get down, check out their artwork and stuff they have. Sis, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, shame job, bud. Thank you.
when I hit up sis a couple of days ago and I said, now come up on stage just for a couple of minutes for a quick yarn, she said no at first. And I said, no, look, me and Chelsea will just have a yarn and, you know, make it safe and have fun. But now would be the time to say, will you be performing for us? Or?
Oh, I might.
Sis, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Casey Coolwell. Casey Coolwell Fisher now, bless.
Hey. Shout out your man.
He's down there.
He's down there working.
Someone got it.
Yeah, working.
So all my mob, Kondamooka mob, from North Stradbroke Island in Jerriba, and mum's side's from out at Cunnamulla Ways. But we all grew up in Brisbane, so we from
Brisbane Black.
Yeah. Logan Woodridge Ways.
Hey.
So we just wanted to get Casey up. Sis, what does being sovereign mean to you? I mean, you're... whenever I see you in community, you're always full of black love and joy, and you're always happy for hugs and kisses, even in the height of a pandemic now. What does being sovereign mean to you, sis?
So it just means, you know, sharing our stories that we already have. Like, we live on country, we are country. Mm-hmm. So, like, sharing that through our art, through my artwork is, you know, pretty major to share with everyone else. So, like, in my artwork, it, you know, shows the sand, the sky, the sea and the water. So, yeah, that's what... It just means who we are and where we come from, I guess, yeah.
Now, you've been here all day, and we thought we were going to be celebrating sovereignty. Aside from your own stall, who is the blackest stall of them all?
Too many to pick out here.
Oh, and you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, true.
Well, give us a shout-out to a couple of stalls that you reckon are...
We got Delveen down there, another Quandamooka woman, so I have to shout out there.
Nepotism.
Shout out to Delveen Cockatoo Collins.
I don't think she's here, but she's somewhere. Kadu over there with their deadly earrings. Soba, their non-alcoholic drinks.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Clint and Soba.
Yeah, there's heaps out here that's, you know, different styles, and it's good to see everyone come together and, you know, celebrate who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, one last question. We're seeing your art everywhere in a really big way. I've seen you online, but also I've seen Woolworths centres and buildings and all types of places. Where's the biggest, blackest space you'd love to get your artwork out somewhere if you had a choice?
I guess it's already, the buses in Brisbane is pretty...
Hey, I'm already doing it, Kevin Yao-Yi.
Please let me be. No. Hey,
folks, put your hands together for our sis, Casey Coolwell.
Thank you.
Thank you, sis. So yeah, make sure you get down, see Casey.
So in our Kiss My Black Arts category, we've got a few. Turns out it's mostly black women. Just gonna say in this one. Our first award in this category goes to... Do I do a drum roll?
Yeah, absolutely, drum roll.
This is for the category of Just Journalism.
And the Just Journalism Award goes to our sis, Amy Maguire. Yeah. Is Amy in the house today? No.
So this award goes to Amy. I'm not sure if you've heard the story, but for particular, it's basically every article that Amy writes. But she got this award this time for her story about Aunty Queenie Heartless. And the story of the family's efforts all these years to bring her back home to Cherbourg. And she wrote her story, and Amy's work is all about presencing Aboriginal women's stories, even in death, and particularly in death, so that the story is not one of violence, but one of life and love and beauty. And so she wrote Aunty's story, and also how she came to her story and the way in which Aunty was speaking even in death. And in less than 24 hours, that article managed to raise over $20,000 to bring Aunty home. And Aunty will be returned home. And so we just want to give a... This is, you know, the when we talk about sovereignty, Distinguished Professor Aileen Morton Robinson talks about in life and in death, our black bodies signify our title to this land. And when you read that story, you can't help but know that.
Absolutely. And Durrumbull, South Sea Islander journalist Amy Maguire has this way. And if you're not familiar with her work, I'd really encourage you to engage with it. She has a way of making blackfellas feel safe in her writing, even when talking about the most horrific of events. And this award is, yeah, like Sis said, is really about honouring Amy, but in the way that she honours blackfellas. So, okay. Folks, please put your hand together for Amy Maguire.
Now, the next award is the Truth Telling Titters Award, and this goes to...
The Truth Telling Award goes to Dr. Fiona Foley! Hey.
Now, Dr. Foley's done amazing things, but she put out a book called Biting the Clouds, which tells the story of the Queensland Protection Act, particularly as it affected Batchelor people. And this year she won the a Queensland Literary Award, the Premier's Award, for her truth-telling. But the other really cool story about Dr. Foley is if you go to the Brisbane Magistrates Court, there is a public installation, and she got granted by the government to do this installation. And when she got the grant, she told them that it was about listing the names of all the towns in Queensland where there'd been fires and flood. And when the exhibition, when the installation was installed, some years later, she revealed that those lists of towns outside the Magistrates Court are not towns where there are fires and floods, but they're massacre sites in the state of Queensland. And she used a fire and water feature in that artwork because that was the means by which they disposed of our bodies. You know, you get no staunch truth-telling than cementing in this place the violence that they perpetrated outside their own courthouse. So if you get a chance, because we know we sometimes have to visit court, Kevin, check it out.
Check it out. And also, Dr. Foley's work can be found in art museums all across the colony. So whenever you come across Dr. Foley stuff, absolutely. I am a little bit biased. I grew up on Batchelor Country, and it's my second home. And as a sovereign Batchelor woman, she centres and ensures that the stories of her people are told not only through her artwork but also through her writing. So, yeah, absolutely. And Biting in the Clouds is out now. So put your hand together for Dr. Fiona Foley.
Hey. Hey, there you go, the voice. We've got a couple more in this category. Next one goes to Professors Larissa Brent and Lyndon Coombs for, you know, that Collingwood racism thing that happened early this year in the report that was leaked. This is an interesting one because, yeah, Uncle Eddie there. When you look at the terms of reference that they were given, it wasn't to investigate the racism at Collingwood. It was to examine the response of Collingwood to racism. So they set it up in a way that meant they actually wouldn't own up to what they did and had the cultural racism they created, but instead their response to it, because they're just innocent in all of this. But what the good black professors did in this report is they had a, what are they called? They opened with a page, and it has titled A Distinctive History. And what they did is they had a table titled Racism at Collingwood, an abridged timeline that went for a few pages. And I just love the staunchness of some of our scholars that even when they set the parameters where we can't speak about the truth about their violence, we find a way to put the receipts in there to remind them every time of who they are.
Absolutely. You know, Professor Larissa Baran is no stranger in calling out racism in the colony. And this year, you know, Prof turned up in a really big way. But also, you know, it really shone a light on Collingwood and who they are and what they're about. And honestly, Eddie McGuire just keeps getting promotions after promotions, this lad.
But it was a proud day for Eddie. It was a proud day.
He was very proud.
Okay, next category. Oh, this one is a good one. They're all good ones. Oh,
they're all good ones, but I know our sis Chelsea Watergo has a special spot for our next award winner in terms of exercising their sovereignty. Who we got, sis?
Look, the category of this award is the Sovereign Song of the Decade. Here we go, Jodie. Jodie knows this song. CJ knows this song. I'll just play it so you fellas know. I'm sorry, where the fuck is my crown now? I just only want my land back to give it. This goes to Barker for that song. That song that pumps out of black women's cars all day, every day.
So, Charles, what is it about Barker's music and her lyrics that you think speaks to the embodiment of sovereignty? What is it that... Because I know you've been talking about Barker.
Every time I see this one, she's like,
Barker this and Barker that. Yes, I know.
I quote her, I cite her.
Cite black women.
Hey, well, we do. It's just you feel her power, and she can speak to power even in her most powerless moments, unapologetically, unashamedly. Could I just also, a lot of black women also cite Barker, and this is one of my favourite quotes from Barker. You ready?
I'm not saying I don't believe in love. I'm just saying I don't believe you, dog.
Can I play that one more time?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't believe in love. I'm just saying I don't believe you, dog.
You want one more time?
One more time. I'm not saying I don't believe in love.
We could just make this
the
whole show.
I'm just saying I don't believe you, dog.
That's it. We run out of time now.
Thank you for indulging me in that moment and all of the sisters.
And you know, Barker talks to, you know, the stuff that we as black fellas experience on a daily basis, but also, you know, she speaks to it in a way that only black women can. So yeah, big shout out to Barker and yeah, keeping us going through 2021.
Hey. And she got an album coming out too.
Yeah, she does have an album coming out. So make sure, if you don't follow Barker online, make sure you pull out your phone and follow Barker online because, producing really quality stuff for us.
Hey.
For us.
Play it loud, play it proud.
Yeah.
Our next award, I haven't got a funny name for this one because it's kind of like a serious one. It goes to the documentary, The Bowerville Murders, that came out this year. And we watched it together with a mob. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, so the Barrackville Murders is a documentary that came out only a couple of months ago. I was lucky to go along with a couple of staunch mob here in Meanjin and watch it when it was here for a screening. And it speaks to the murders that took place some years ago of young Aboriginal children that were taken from the same street and went missing. And there was very little done to find justice for the family. And this is what Barrackville centres around, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so it gets the category of celebrating sovereignty for a few reasons. You know, you can watch that documentary and be really wild about the injustice and the persisting injustice, like at every turn and how wrong it is, like you feel it and you get wild. But the other thing that you can see in this documentary is the beauty of black love and black communities. You know, Bowerville's situated between a piggery and the dump. And when you watch a documentary, you see the beauty of that community, despite the where it's been located. And it was really powerful storytelling because in amongst the ugliness of injustice, we still saw the beauty of black fellas and black communities. And for the two cousins who are still fighting for justice for a relative that they never got to meet, like that's sovereignty, you know? And just to feel the spirit of that community and that those families who are still fighting despite the fact that everyone else has given up. Like, that's sovereignty.
Yeah. And the fact that it took a black man to then bring these documentaries to life to only add more publicity and support the family in this way. I mean, it's really black fellas turning up for mob in all different types of ways and honouring, you know, our mob in all types of ways as well.
Yeah.
Barrackville Murders. That documentary, definitely, yeah, get around it. Watch it with mob. It is a bit heavy, obviously, but it's an important story in remembering the mob from down south.
Feel like magic every time we touch. Nah, you can't complain to this black love. Always will be invested.
This last half hour, you mob, we've been highlighting, you know, mob, staunch, deadly mob from all across the colony. From as far north to the Torres Strait, down to Nam and Lydia and Senate Floor, and everyone in between almost. But we want to remind everyone that, you know, sovereignty isn't just those big moments on the Senate floor. Sovereignty isn't just those big moments taking the government to the United Nations, although it is. Sovereignty isn't just words and lyrics that stir emotion within us, although it is. But sovereignty is embodied by all of us every damn day in the showing up. In just being here right now, we are exercising our sovereignty in a way that white fellas can never take from us. And it's not a form of protest because we are just being. Because it's our land and we own it.
Hey, segues Now, we're actually running on time, which I'm really surprised about. But we have one final award that we want to give.
Yes.
And I didn't have an... I think this is like the Sovereign Sister Award.
Yeah.
The blackest queen of them all.
Yeah.
Do you want a drum roll?
Yeah.
I hope she's here too.
Folks, can you please put your hand together for our Sovereign Sister... Flashback, Kerry Klim. She's right there.
Now you got to come up because we've got 10 minutes to fill.
She's there. Everyone, she's there. Lol.
The reason Kerry gets this award is not just for the artwork, and we'll muck around, but seriously, this award goes to you for your dragging of Red Cross. Because, you know, exercising our sovereignty demands that we call out racism. And to our own employers... Shout out UQ and the NTEU. You know where you can go.
And everyone else.
The NTEU are the new Sam Dyday for me. I'm just going to say it. So I'll mention you every time until I get my apology for that statement you put out. And sis is right here.
Absolutely.
That's sovereignty. But let's get back to racism at Red Cross. We want to have a yarn with you. Like, not only are you, you know, dragging these fellas and holding them accountable for the violence that they perpetuate, but you put on this. You got to clap for that.
Kerry, thank you for joining us on stage. First of all, thank you for inviting us to be a part of this deadly event. Thank you so much. You absolutely exercise your sovereignty every damn day. But for you, what does being sovereign mean? What does it mean to you?
Oh, as you just said, it's just being. It's being who I am. Flash Black. You know, a couple of decades ago, if I said I was Flash Black, white people would just looked at me and said, "Oh, who does she think she is?" And I say, "I'm Flash Black, and I'm deadly, and I just walk. I just walk, and I own it, and I live it, and breathe it."
In terms of putting on an event like this, I mean, I said to you before, I'm like, "Are you having fun?" Said I'm tired. But I mean, what's it like to bring an event like this together? I can't imagine it's easy.
Oh, well, I did it all by myself. No.
I want to thank me.
I want to thank myself. No, of course, there's an amazing team. Matrice, what a go over there.
What a go, guys.
Hey. What a go. Matrice, Dita did the music, Dita and Russell. Yeah. We've got Meryn, our Koori videographer, roaming around, and her in our team. So it puts on a whole, it's, you know, a whole team that's put it on. And a shout out, of course, to Southeast Queensland Indigenous Chamber of Commerce, who are the ones, the brainchilds behind this.
Absolutely. Hands together.
Now, we're all sitting here and we're talking about celebrating sovereignty, which means dragging racists. And all three of us sitting, sorry it is, but all of us sitting here have had to fight racism on the job, like most black fellas that go to work each day and fight with their own employer. And not that we want to like, but what was it for you in deciding to go public and go, you know what, I'm going to call it?
Well, I went public because it's true. Because it's the truth. And I tell my story and I own it. And having my voice was important because everyone was taking my story and twisting it and saying, like Collingwood, you know, twisting it in their words. And by me speaking out was by me saying my story my way, which was the truth, which is the truth.
Because there's a lot of them out there that every day are dealing with racism on the job, but take silence as a strategy for coping, that you can just withstand it and just work through it because you're going to, you know, just do the work for community anyway. But there's a real violence that comes with being silent about racism. And sometimes people think it's safer to be quiet, not to call it out because you might get in trouble. But from my experience, the violence gets visited upon us even more so when we don't speak of it because it still comes home. It comes home with us. Mm. Our kids feel it. Our loved ones feel it. Like it's... It doesn't go away when we don't speak about it.
Absolutely. For me, I started that journey of speaking out and saying racism, and it wasn't racism. It actually is racial violence. It was violent on me. I was really unwell, and that's violent. That's a violent abuse on me. So I had to sort of change my mind of thinking too about how that racism was impacting me. It was impacting me in a very violent way.
Yep. Yeah. Kevin, what made you speak up?
Yeah, well, I'm stubborn, and I'm sovereign.
What made you speak up, Kevin?
You don't like to talk. For me, when I took my previous employers to the Human Rights Commission of Queensland, it was really about, I just don't want the next black fella to experience what I experienced. And it took about 6 months for the penny to drop for me to realise that I was in this really, racist workplace. And I had given them opportunity to fix their face, so to speak, and they never did. So for me, it was about taking the fight outside, because in their house, I was never going to win. You know, it was their HR, it was their lawyers, it was their everything. So, you know, like we do in community, I took it outside to the streets. In fact, only a couple of streets down here, and I took my employers there because I just didn't want the next black fella to experience it. And it's because it's our land.
It comes back.
It's all our land. And I would actually encourage, you know, white fellas who are here today to really think about ways that you can give back the land.
Pay the rent,
but give it back and you know, think about crowdfund some land and donate it to someone. I mean, these really, like, you laugh, but these are practical ways that you can give the land back.
To deal with that guilt that you're carrying around all the time that you keep talking about.
Yeah, right. We're never getting invited back, Chelsea. Yeah. But, yeah, that's why I spoke up.
Wemba Wemba scholar Dr. Paola Bella talks about sovereignty as being love and resistance simultaneously. And in the midst of the fight is finding ways to allow love and to feel love and be loved. Can you talk about what's helped you heal in the fight of it all?
Well, the speaking out has been incredible healing, because the silence is violence. So if I didn't speak out, it would have just made me sicker and sicker. And the moment I spoke out about the racism that I experienced and so many other Indigenous people there experienced, so many people started contacting me and said, we've experienced it too. And non-Indigenous people contacted me and said, we've seen the violence. And so even though they spoke to me privately, I felt like I had to keep speaking out more to be that voice. And that was healing for me. And my other healing is just through artwork, and which brings me to Mianjin. I just started designing and creating, and I could just let go. I could be free in any way that I choose. And so that was really healing.
Kevin, what do you do for your healing in the midst of the fights?
I drink. Nah. Well, that too. Nah. Look, for me, it's about being around black fellas and about knowing that I'm not wrong and knowing that I'm in the right and knowing that I'm not going crazy. And, yep. And being around black fellas who are staunch and sovereign in their being, and they turn and they go, no, that's pretty messed up, Kevin. That's not okay. That acknowledgement of what I'm experiencing. Hey, shut up. Yeah, hey. Another drink. Yeah, Clint, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. What's in it? Nah. Swipe a phone, come and see the stall. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no, absolutely. It's about being around black fellas. You know, I'm lucky to live in Mianjin where, you know, I'm engaged in the community and I rock up to community events. And, A, that's because I'm a big Dory and I want to just see people. But it's about getting the energy around black fellas. And I'm just so blessed to live in a community where we can come together like this. And events like this. So thank you, Kerry, for the event and for inviting us here today.
Yeah. And I was going to say humour. Humour is healing. Hey. Humour is blackfella healing.
Absolutely.
Truest.
Yeah. I think for me, my healing has been about honesty in being honest about the hurt that the violence visited upon us does, and actually just acknowledging it and learning that to recognise the violence and the impact it has. Disentangling that from the idea that we are then powerless. And that was a big learning for me to actually be, not just have to be staunch all the time and actually say, yeah, no, I'm broken. They hit me. They hurt me. But at the same time, it's not that I'm powerless. I have to tell the truth of their violence, and we have to be honest about the impact. And when I first, those first few, race discrimination cases, when I had to do the statement of impact, I initially didn't write a, didn't want to write honestly to let them know how they'd hurt me. But we have to, because that's what it is to be fully human, is to, like, punch on, but also then heal and acknowledge where we're at when we're at that place. And because mob then just wrap around you with love, with understanding, and recognise that you can't be here or can't do things because you're just recovering for a minute. Yeah. So I think that's really important that, yeah, we can be staunch and fight, but we can also be publicly vulnerable. We have a right to do that.
And I think just listening to the signs when I was feeling the most deepest and hurt, I would just feel the sign, and I'd see a sign, and suddenly I kept these kookaburras were following me around more and more, these kookaburras. And it was when I really needed them the most that the kookaburras came. So it was really listening out for ancestors.
Hey. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, listening to our ancestors, because they speak to us every day, and that's the special ability we have as sovereign people connecting us to these unceded lands. Folks, can you please put together for Flash Black, Kerry Klim?
Yeah.
Folks, that's our time. I mean, I know Brisbane Blacks are sick of probably hearing Chelsea and I talk anyway.
Sorry about it. Not sorry.
So we're about to wrap up, but I just want to give a big shout out to all the stores here today who have donated gifts, which will be sent to the likes of Lydia Thorpe and Barker and to the mob up north in the Torres Strait. Everyone's donated something, so thank you for that to the stalls of the Meanjin Markets.
Hey, absolutely.
Folks, before we go, look, I do want to give this here, because in terms of sovereignty and embodying it, very few people do it in the way that Professor Chelsea Watergo does. Do yourself a favour. Go and buy another day in the colony. She's always around the community, so if ever you want to get it signed another day, she'll be around.
No, leave me alone.
Kerry, thank you so much for having us. I'm Kevin Yao Yee. This is Chelsea Watergo. See you later.
Yeah.